1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Breaking news out of the U.S. Senate on the debt ceiling bill.
On this vote, the yeas are 63, the nays are 36. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
It comes as the U.S. tries to avoid a debt default on Monday. President Biden had urged the Senate to pass the bill quickly after it made it through the House last night, saying he wanted to quickly sign it. Gene Sperling, a key advisor on economics to President Biden, tells CBS News the debt ceiling and spending agreement is good for the country.
Compromises were made, but you know, we felt on our side that we did support the values that the president believes in and that this was not ideal, but an honorable bipartisan compromise.
When he got back to the White House from Colorado, President Biden shouted to reporters that he got sandbagged. It was his way of laughing off a fall he had taken on the stage at the Air Force Academy graduation. CBS's Ed O'Keefe in Iowa reports former President Trump was momentarily empathetic.
Well, I hope he wasn't hurt. I hope he wasn't hurt.
Former President Donald Trump expressed concern when told of his successor's fall and referenced his own experience after a commencement at West Point in 2020.
You got to be careful about that because you don't want that, even if you have to tiptoe down a ramp.
But he couldn't resist taking a shot at his once and possibly future opponent.
That's a bad place to fall when you're making, I think it was the Air Force Academy, right? He's making, that's not inspiring.
Unusually hot weather in portions of New England today, as Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen reports.
During the mid and late day hours of Thursday, the thermometer was reading upper 80s to low 90s all the way on up through New England, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, even into places like New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. It was in the upper 80s and low 90s.
Tomorrow is expected to be a scorcher from Kentucky up to Vermont. Police in Texas have arrested a man believed to be a serial killer. Reporter Chris Fox has more from Austin.
62-year-old Raul Mesa is being described by Texas law enforcement as the worst of the worst. Convicted of raping and murdering an 8-year-old in 1982, Mesa was released after serving only 11 years of a 30-year sentence. He's now admitted to Austin police to two recent murders, Detective Katie Connor.
We have between 8 and 10 cases that kind of fit the similar circumstances.
Mesa was taken into custody Monday, Deputy U.S. Marshal Brandon Fila.
He had a bag with him, contained zip ties, duct tape, and a .22 caliber pistol.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Dev Shaw, a 14-year-old from Largo, Florida, wins the Scripps National Spelling Bee on the word samophile. And recapping our top story, the U.S. averts a first-ever default. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
So you just used bug spray in your home. Now what? Well, between the waiting and waiting for things to dry up and keeping your family away from the mess, it hits you. You could have used Zevo. Unlike other bug sprays that stick around, Zevo goes from kill to clean in seconds. Plus, it's safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, June 2nd. In Wood County, the Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Safety Conference Room 105. They will hear from the Criminal Justice Coordinator, a report from the Citizens Groundwater Group, and discuss the Price County Resolution, among other agenda items. They will also tour the Branch 4 courtroom. In Portage County, the Solid Waste Management Board will meet at 9 a.m. at the Annex in Conference Room 5. They will discuss and take possible action to approve the amendment to the Intergovernmental Agreement. Tomorrow is the last day of school for students in the Wisconsin Rapids School District, and it's a half day. Rams will dismiss at noon, Lincoln High School at 12:20, and elementary schools get out at 1. Stevens Point students are in school until June 6th because of a makeup snow day. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 62. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime high is approaching 89. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 62. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Two peregrine falcon chicks have hatched at Weston Power Plant. Brittany Merlot has more details.
Wisconsin Public Service says the first chick hatched Sunday evening, with the second chick arriving Monday morning. And in a few weeks, the Weston Power Plant chicks will officially receive their names and identification bands. This year's Falcon class is being named after Wisconsin's most voted and loved college mascots. A total of 442 chicks have been born at WPS and We Energy's power plants in Wisconsin and Michigan since the company's Peregrine Falcon recovery programs began in 92.
The world's largest potato masher was installed this month at the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. Stevens Point News reports the almost 39-foot-tall kitchen utensil represents the exploration that will take place in the nearly completed center. Their goal is to promote agricultural literacy, increase the understanding of the origins of our food, and deepen the relationship between farmers and consumers. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 62. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 89. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 62. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
people and works for the planet rather than one that just works for capital. So that's nice. What we're about.
Awesome. All right. So I guess when the government defines employment barriers, what does that mean?
Oh yeah. Well, I suppose when the government defines it, you know, or when people think about it in their heads, it's the stuff that stands in the way of making work for people. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we tend to think of like there's workers and there's not workers, but what there are is like a whole range of things that makes work possible, right? So in a time when there are a lot of jobs, one of the things that happens is jobs get better, right? Mm-hmm. To attract people, to hold on to people. And we've watched that happen over the last year and a half in really dramatic ways, especially the bottom of the labor market. So jobs get better. That's one way that you kind of overcome barriers to work. Like if they pay more, someone who's facing high childcare costs suddenly sees that it's possible to work because the wage is higher, maybe. Right? Mm-hmm. So things are more fluid. Everybody is making decisions. Am I a worker? Am I not a worker? And they're making a decision on the basis of what does it take for me to get to that work site? So transportation can be really important. What do I get from that work site? Wages and schedules and benefits. And what's going on in my life or my community that needs my attention, my family, my kids, or that the situation of getting care to this kid is so expensive, it makes me lose money when I go into work, right? All of these are kind of dynamic decisions. They're not a decision you make one day and then that's the truth for you always. You're always a worker, you're not a worker. Everyone is, you know, kind of, especially when you're close to the margins on these things, you got a little kid that's expensive, mm-hmm. And you kind of want to spend some time with the kids. So you're kind of making these balancing questions. And so that's, I think I like people to think it's sort of a little more fluid, this space. And one of the things that's really going on right now is jobs are getting better. That's good. But especially moms, because moms tend to carry the burden mm-hmm. of family care, especially lower wage workers with real transportation issues, especially folks who really need health insurance to be working. Our low wage jobs tend not to provide that. And yep. These are folks who I think face barriers in this time.
Got it. We're talking to Laura Dresser, who's Associate Director of COWS, Center of Wisconsin Strategy. And so I feel like for the amount that we've talked about it on this show and the amount that I've read about it, and I am not an expert, but I'm very interested, I feel like our labor participation rate in Wisconsin tells two stories. On the one hand, we've talked about how our labor participation rate in Wisconsin for working age people is like the second highest in the country, which is great, right? So that proves that our unemployment rates are low. And also for the people who are of working age, a lot of them are working comparatively to other states. Simultaneously, that same measure of labor participation has been declining since like 1997. And so it feels like there's these two stories happening as far as like of like how many people are working. And so like what do you make of those two numbers, or what should we take away from that?
Okay. I'm going to do my big headline and then I'm going to just dive lightly into the weeds.
Okay.
But at the headline level, I think that the important thing to see is that Wisconsin is working. I think a year and a half ago, we had this everybody kind of bought into this great resignation story, mm-hmm. right? Oh, the pandemic supports were so generous and everybody realized they didn't really like work anyway. And so they're van life and GoFundMe, and this is what's happened to everybody. Nobody wants to work anymore. We sort of did this great resignation language, and that just wasn't true, right? People are working, like you said, we're working more, you know, about the level we were before the pandemic at this point. Wisconsin has always had a high labor force participation rate, especially it's driven by high rate labor force participation rates of women. Look at us. and so Wisconsin is still relatively high. and Wisconsin is working. And there isn't a story about creating laziness or being too generous with government programs to get people out of the labor market, which is, I think, what the Great Resignation tended to feed, especially on the conservative side, was this analysis that, like, people are taking advantage of all this generosity and they're getting lazy. And that's why we can't find workers. So that I set aside. Yeah. That is not true. We are working. But I think the other thing that's going on, and you mentioned this earlier, is we have a decline in the prime age population, 25 to 54. Just kiss that goodbye. So I'm sad that that's true.
Oh.
Prime age. I know. I mean, while, you know, like, I still am saying goodbye, prime age. Anyway, so we're declining. You know, the baby boom is aging out. Mm-hmm. And as people get older, they're less likely to work. So the long-term, I saw a recent analysis, this is in the weeds, but a recent analysis of the kind of long-term decline in Wisconsin's labor force participation rate from the University of Wisconsin Extension had a deep dive into this. And I think their summary was that it is largely the result of the changing demographics that we see this decline. So still high labor force participation rates, but with an aging population, that's what describes it.
Yeah. Laura, speaking of an aging population, and I don't know if you looked at this particularly, but I think challenges for women over 50 are really, really real. And I was at one place for almost 25 years, a couple months before I turned 50, they let me go. And it's, they say they want workers, but they certainly would like someone younger than you.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to, absolutely. Older workers who, and some workers stepped out because older workers were at greater threat during the pandemic, right? So that the health risk was higher. And so this stepping out, which was what people should do, you know, especially in that intense shutdown year, and then coming back, finding a way in is really hard. And I think that's another place where you can kind of see the thinness of the claim that this is all just, we can't find anyone willing to work. There's deep questions about the quality of the job. And one of the things that makes older workers kind of harder to appeal to is they have wages that were better at one point, and they're not going to work for these really low wages. And so I think thinking about job quality in this question so centrally, like, what are employers doing? What are they trying to drive through the wage strategies? And how does that impact, as like you're saying, Jane, the older workers?
And so I don't know if this is the most up-to-date stat, but there's somewhere around 100,000 open jobs in Wisconsin right now, ish. And would you agree with that, Laura? Is that the numbers?
I mean, you know, measuring open jobs is,
That was kind of going to be my question. So it's like, if that is kind of the number that gets thrown out there right now, and we've covered the story before about, like, fake job openings that companies are now just putting stuff up there because they're always hiring, even though the job's not actually open. So there's that. But as far as, was there anything that came out of the most recent state of working Wisconsin that showed where the most vacancies are? Because we've talked about a nursing shortage, we've talked about a teacher shortage, the service industry is constantly struggling. So it's like, is there trends within that as far as, like we said, the jobs that are available, are they jobs that people actually want? Are they jobs that have a obstacle because of their higher education requirements? Or, like, what trends are we seeing of the jobs that are open?
Yeah, I think so. One salient difference is the high turnover, especially the low wage service jobs. I feel like low wage service work, retail, hospitality, food and beverage, you know, the whole kind of set of things around there. We have over the last 40 years, those jobs defining the bottom of the labor market have become harder and harder to sustain families on. They now offer very uneven hours, very low benefit packages, very low relative wages, especially as we've seen the minimum wage become less and less relevant, right? And so the best news in the last 2 years has been the high turnover that we have seen churning through that. That has lifted the floor on the lowest wages. jobs. So that, and you all, I mean, listeners can see this in, you know, people advertising in service work at $15-16 an hour in the cities now, in Madison and Milwaukee. So that's one place where there's been a real change in the structure of pay. And I think a move towards greater hours of work, like more full-time jobs in those service jobs. There's shortages. So that's where the kind of formal and informal organizing of workers is changing what work looks like. Then of course there are these, you know, shortages for specific skills. And sometimes those skills take a while to get, right? So nursing is a perennial shortage where I think the question is really about, is it the quality of the job and the supports to the nurses, or is it really the supply? And I think there's a pretty strong argument, especially during the pandemic, that the demands on workers were really high. The rewards were low. The threat of health problems was high. And that made that job a harder job to fill, for sure. The system is responding with skills, but that's the way. I think that's when that one.
Absolutely. Works. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, I'd love to talk about what policies you think would actually help with some of these obstacles and how that compares to maybe some of the policies that we're getting. Do those align? I'm going to say no, maybe not. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. Our guest is Laura Dresser, who's the Associate Director of the Center of Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS. Stick around. This is Ask Coast Wisconsin.
Hard in the evening. It's easy at night. Big balls, man. Big balls, man. Big balls, man. Can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big, you just tall, that's all.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
If you talk, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing the most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a tie, aye, aye, come a tie, hippity, aye, now get along.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are joined by Laura Dresser, who is the Associate Director of the Center of Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS. Is that why you picked that song,
Jane? Cow, cow, boogie. It's the cow, cow, boogie by the Judds, man.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I know this is going to go too fast, and so we're going to have you back, Laura. But as far as addressing some of these obstacles, because the topic that we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is when we're talking about labor shortage, when we're talking about job openings, that there are other obstacles in the way of people who want to work but are choosing based on what their life is right now, that they either can't get there, they can't afford childcare, and there are all these different things that get in the way of them working. So what are some of the policies that could actually move the needle on this? And for the people who could be working but can't right now, could make them, what's the best way to say this? Like work for them. I think that was your words.
Yeah. Well, so the first one I'd like to, raise up is we had a lot of investment. The state really did a lot of critical investment into childcare infrastructure with federal money over the past, since the pandemic started. And childcare is a sector that is perennially stressed, but has been in crisis over the last 2 years. Center directors are having a hard time staying, keeping rooms open, hiring staff, facing, a hard time keeping people in the rooms and being able to take care of kids. And so childcare infrastructure needs investments. Childcare counts was the governor's proposed version of this, and right now sits at the side, as many things do, in the joint finance process. And I think Raising Wisconsin and other advocates have really been pushing for these investments in childcare in the infrastructure that allows mostly moms, but parents of little kids to work. And that's essential in this state if we're going to talk about labor supply and people working. So that's my first nominee is invest in childcare. A second one I want to point out is like a kind of pet peeve of mine. We're the only state, our borders with Michigan up at the UP and Minnesota and Illinois, all those states have higher minimum wages, and especially for tipped workers. So if you were going to be a tipped worker on one side of the Mississippi River or the other, if you're going to work in a restaurant and on the Minnesota side of the border, you get paid more than $10 an hour. On the Wisconsin side of the border, you get $2.30 an hour from your boss. Where do you go work? You go work on the Mississippi side of the border. So, on the Minnesota side of the river. And so, as we let the bottom fall out of our labor market by not attending the minimum wage, we are losing workers to this places where they can go for better wages. So that's another one for me. Those are maybe my
that one doesn't come
nominees.
Up as much. Like, I know that our minimum wage and our sub-minimum wage for tipped workers is the federal minimum, and we haven't increased in a long time. But as far as the amount of people who potentially work in the service industry who look at that and they're like, well, why would I? It's the same weather wherever I go. So I'm going to go where I'm going to get paid a little bit more.
Yeah. Minnesota used to have, it's a smaller state than we are, but it's raised its labor force participation rates over time. This just sort of holds up like, what does it mean to reward work instead of to punish work? Right.
Yeah.
And I think as a strategy, what we need to think is like make work appealing is how you get workers into the labor force. And I think, Medicaid expansion is another place where like I could, if I knew how health insurance was going to happen, I could put up with this job more easily. Like supporting people rather than acting like everybody's trying to get something for nothing is a way to kind of support the labor market.
And then the last one I want to make sure we touch on is transportation.
Yeah.
Because I was reading about this is, they're in the bigger cities, there's buses, but also like getting to and from suburbs in different parts of the, either Southeast and Milwaukee and all the suburbs down here, Fox Valley, Madison. And as they grow potentially, And like, I had a flashback to when I lived in the Bay Area and I took a shuttle down from San Francisco to Mountain View. And like, that was a private shuttle, but like, at least there was even an option to do that. Like, I don't even think there's private companies that are offering to shuttle people around so you can actually get to your job.
Yeah. I think that the stuff about borders and transit systems in Wisconsin feels very rigid and inefficient and stuck in the past, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's, you know, people need to move across city borders, you know, through the region. And just think about, for those of you who are from around Madison, just what a lift it was to extend Madison Metro outside city limits, like how much political work that takes. I mean, but that everybody moves across that border all the time. Right.
It's
a fiction in a way. And but our structures and, you know, the structures of coordination on transportation and the lack of investment in it both really stand in the way of making systems that work for working people.
Well, any other closing thoughts on this topic, even though this is what you study all the time? So I'm sure you have lots to say.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm delighted to talk about this topic, of course. I've been writing this State of Working Wisconsin for more than a quarter of a century. And the labor market right now is doing things for low-wage workers that it has not done since I've been writing that report. And
oh, wow.
I think we're so obsessed, I don't know, with weird inflation. I mean, I get inflation is hard and it's hard to carry. But a tight labor market moves power towards workers. It isn't just about unemployment. It's about how long the line is at the door. And I think seeing both, you know, that this is a good economy, it is good for workers, and it's been especially good for the workers that needed it the most. It's not enough, you know, but that's a theme I always sound if you're going to give me
that. No, totally. And that's so interesting. That's interesting. So in 25 years, this is the best you've seen, like, as far as like conditions for workers?
Yeah, that kind of closing of the gap from the bottom to the middle to see the trends that we've seen in these last couple of years.
Well, there's some good news to end on, Laura Dresser.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll definitely have you back because this was super interesting, and everything you study is stuff that I am super interested in. So thank you for spending time with us today.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right. Well, when we come back after the news, we will talk to Paul Noonan for a sports update. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He's what you call swinging half breed, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.